Welcome, everyone, to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley, a national news and talk program dedicated to military veterans issues. And now, your hosts, David Corey and Richard Hurley.
Good evening. Welcome to the Veterans News Hour for February the 25th, 2019. This is David Corey, along with my co-host, Richard Hurley. Thanks for joining us this evening. Welcome back, Richard. We missed you last week. How are you doing?
Hey, David. I'm hanging in there. I had a nice trip out to Omaha to visit family, my daughter and grandkids, and came back with the flu. So,
oh, no.
Yeah, it was about 3 degrees every morning, about a foot of snow, and I'm enjoying being back in sunny Florida with nice 70-degree days, and hopefully I can burn off this flu. But I want to welcome everyone to our show. Tonight we do have another fast hour of information and news of interest to the veterans. However, before jumping into that, I'd like to acknowledge two sponsors, Joe and Joyce Chivaroli, whose financial contribution helps us provide this weekly show for the benefit of veterans and their families across the country. At the conclusion of our show, I know David's going to mention to everyone out there, if you'd like to be a sponsor of our show, you can contact us. We'd be happy to have you as a sponsor and to help us continue to keep this good show going. And it's an important show. It's a call-in show that welcomes your views, your comments, and questions. And so during the show, you can call us at any time. Our number is 1-888-627-6008. Again, the toll-free call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. And I just want to remind our veterans that, you know, this is your show. It's called the Veterans News Hour. We're the messengers here. We're putting together a lot of information to pass on to veterans and their families. So we welcome your thoughts and ideas and comments about stuff that we talk about. Tonight we have several news segments about the VA healthcare system, as well as the new VA appeal system, which went into effect last Tuesday, February the 19th. Then after that, we have more news from the VA about two separate upcoming athletic programs for disabled veterans, the wheelchair games and the winter sports clinic. So stay tuned for a fast hour of news and developments. Now back to you, David.
Yeah, thank you, Richard. Let me just check with our producer, Doug, real quick. Doug, did we have a caller in yet already? Yes, we do. Thank you. So Doug, if you could bring on Jason on line one. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how are you guys doing tonight?
How are you? Hey. We're doing great. I'm doing great. Hey, Richard's not so well.
Jason, how are you, pal?
Good. Rich, how you feeling?
Well, I'm struggling here, but we're getting the job done.
That's right. Always. Thank
so,
you.
So, Jason, how are you doing? What's new with you?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Through the past few months of traveling with the PTSD Foundation of America, we finally established a Florida chapter, here locally in Ocala. And, what we provide is a peer-to-peer support group network, all across the state of Florida. And if veterans are in need, we have a, faith-based facility called Camp Hope, which I had the pleasure to invite Rich out to when I was in Houston about a year and a half or so ago, and now we're emulating that process here in Florida. So it's just an amazing service that's finally been brought here to Florida to do the groups and veterans to get their, if you will, fill their cup with fellow veterans to talk through the struggles of just life, with whether it be PTSD or traumas, with other fellow veterans through our warrior groups with the PTSD Foundation of America. And it's just been running really amazing. The community support is absolutely beautiful. And it's just an honor to be able to represent that and give another option to veterans for a different way of healing.
So, Rick, let me ask Jason a couple questions here. Jason, you're in Florida. If we could tell our listeners where in Florida, and veterans who are in Florida or your area of Florida, what should they know about the program that's in Florida?
Well, if veterans here in Florida, what they should know is specifically if they want a different form of being able to really just honestly work on the issues. They may go to the VA, and that's wonderful. They may go to outside counseling, or they may seek treatment in some way for the issues of PTSD. Well, now they have a different option to go through the warrior groups. And the warrior groups are going all across Florida, but we started here in Ocala. And veterans can call in at 352-816-2074. And that's my personal number. And that veterans can call into that to get one-on-one peer support mentoring or even for crisis calls, as well as seeking out, you know, when the groups may be and if they want to come out and join their group to be with their fellow peers and work through maybe the issues that they have, they're able to do so. Also, they have an option of using the PTSD Foundation of America crisis number, which is 877-717-7873. And a combat veteran answers that phone within, you know, about three calls. And a veteran may be in an issue of crisis, and they can call that number. And I will get the opportunity to communicate with that veteran, whatever they may be struggling with. And if it is at the point of that dire need to have some kind of intervention, by all means, I go directly to the veteran as well as the other chapters we have all across in different states to help the veteran in that direct time of need. You know, they're struggling with PTSD. They call somebody, and they get the chance to talk to a fellow combat vet that's been through those struggles, found a way to, you know, find a greener grass on the other side through linking with other veterans who have those issues and learning about growth. And so they can call those numbers, they can reach out to us, and if they need a place of healing for a longer time, they can do the same thing and get the opportunity to go to Camp Hope, which is a 4 to 6 month peer-based support program, residential facility, and interim housing for combat vets in Houston, Texas.
And Jason, how much does it cost for a veteran to go to Camp Hope in Houston?
The amazing thing is, for a faith-based 501c3 program, it costs absolutely nothing for the veteran. It's fully funded. The community of our United States, period. They support this program, and what that allows is if a veteran is in that need and they need that treatment, they need that healing, they can call, we can go through the process, and within 12 to 48 hours, they have a plane ticket that's paid for. They can go with the shoes and shirt on the back and walk in there, and they don't need to spend a dime. It's completely
wow.
free to the combat veteran.
That's awesome.
You know, Jason, when I was out there with you, I think there were about 75 to 80 veterans at Camp Hope. Is that about the average number?
Yes, it is. Matter of fact, right now it's about that. It's about 80, and they, you know, the range obviously differs at times, but right now it's about 80 veterans that are there doing the program, and they have just about to finish here in the next, hopefully, few months, their other portion of that program, which now is the family housing unit. And if they go on to PTSDUSA.org and look up Camp Hope and look up the organization, they see now where veterans before would go through that program, and now they're offering the opportunity for not just the veteran, but the family member to come and be in this facility in their housing units they have on campus and not only heal the veteran, but they can walk through, the family member, the spouse can walk through healing themselves as well and learn how to deal with their own issues that they may be exposed to. And it's something that I've never seen before and been able to be a part of. So it doesn't just affect the veteran, it affects the family members, and that's what they've kind of focused on by building this family housing unit and providing the family groups as well.
We've always said that post-traumatic stress isn't just a veteran's issue, it's a family issue. Now, Jason, when I was out there and you gave me a great tour of the facility, and I've never brought this up, even though we've talked about Camp Hope on previous shows, describe a little bit about the the barrack, I'm using that barrack, situation, the rooms that everyone's in, you're almost in like your own self-contained, apartment. And then within that group, everyone has a job to do. I mean, everyone kind of leans on each other. Tell our listeners more about that, because that's all part of, helping the veteran kind of getting back into, adjusting to society and civilian life versus military life. So tell us about that.
Well, when they go through the program, they have a few, what we call phases. And the facility they stay in, the Russell Lee Barra House, which if someone were to imagine what that would look like besides looking on the website, it's a gorgeous, building. And it has four bays. We call them Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, in very much military fashion. Inside those bays, they have their own living area, living quarters, as if a kitchen and living room and dining areas. But every veteran has their own individual room. It's very similar to living in maybe even an upscale college dorm, where they may share those kind of amenities, but they have their own room. And what happens is they wake up every morning, and these veterans are required to do very simple chores. Make your bed, clean the house with the fellow vets. And it builds a process of camaraderie in a very simple format, starting off. And then they go through these phases together, which is different treatment. And they go through black phase, red phase, green phase, yellow phase, to the point of transitioning out of the program. And as they do that, as they get into another phase of that program, they move to a different housing unit where they are actually processing the portion of transition into the real world, if you want to call it, the world of civilian life for a veteran. And they get the opportunity to have a foot inside Camp Hope and then have the freedom of going outside of that and look for opportunities of jobs and careers that not only that they seek for, but Camp Hope offers them those resources as well. It's really hard to describe in the sense of what some people may think of as a treatment program, but when veterans are there, they are exposed to the ability to just be in a comfortable place. It's not take your shoes away. The gate is always open, and they can be comfortable and lay their head down in the bed and wake up with their fellow brothers with energy for the day to work through the issues and heal through many of the very organized classes that the fellow veterans who've been through the program mentor the other veterans through.
Now another thing that I found very important for the program and for veterans, because I've sent a number of clients there, and most of those clients that I've sent were facing some sort of civilian jail time for essentially minor offenses. Might be DUI or something, something very minor, but they're looking at incarceration of some sort. And, the judges I know in Marion County, for instance, which is where Ocala is, that judge, is a big, fan of the program. So he'll send these veterans there in lieu of jail. And so you'll spend 6, maybe 9 months getting treatment versus, doing county jail incarceration, which serves absolutely no purpose.
Absolutely. And essentially, in my own opinion, and it is, exacerbates the problem and the issues at hand in the first place. And yes, the Veterans Court system, we work closely in Houston with the Veterans Court system, and where veterans may go through, and we advocate on their behalf through their treatment to the Veterans Court system. And we do the same thing here with the Veterans Court program here in Marion County and Judge McCune, Johnny Valentine, who is a court administrator, liaison for the Veterans Court. We work very closely with saying, yes, they are there. They've given that option and they're there, but we will advocate to the court and say, this is their progress. This is what they're doing. They're putting work in. And then through that, that system, which is Veterans Court, they offer them an ability to may have their charges expunged or null processed, if you will, or even lessened to a less severe punishment. And that is all based off the criteria of Veterans Court. But by all means, you're meeting these veterans in their dire need. And yes, they may have had issues that got them in legal trouble, but we will sit there and be by their side through the whole process and say, we can work through this effort. And if we can communicate your progress through the system, if you will, the legal system can see visually, yes, they are making this progress. They're putting that effort in to be a better individual and put the effort in to heal from some of those issues. Well, we're just going to be there along with them and advocate that process.
You know, Jason, one of the great things about you talking about Camp Hope and all the work that you're doing with veterans is you know, your own journey. You know, I met you, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and
yes,
things were tough. Things were tough. And you have really picked yourself up by your bootstraps and you know, done the work. You know, that's what they all say when it comes to recovery. You know, you've got to do the work. You got to put the work in. You can have the programs out there for you to assist you, but if you don't put the work in, then forget about it. You're not going to get full recovery. And clearly, you know, I've watched you over the last 4 or 5 years. You have put the work in, and I you know, commend you for everything you did for yourself and for your children. And now what you're doing for other veterans.
I appreciate that, Rich. It was a long, hard road. And absolutely, you've been there every step of the way and understand what that looked like. And at times as a veteran and as a Marine, and I will say that 10 years, where you know you put effort into doing some goal, and one of the hardest and scariest things is like, let me focus on me. Let me see what my issues are. And putting effort into yourself is not easy, but that's the thing is we can go to any treatment facility, which I advocate. You need to go. No matter what program or what they offer in curriculum, or if you don't put the effort in to say, let me actually look at that issue, let me work on that, let me understand what that is and try to get better, then it doesn't matter where you go or who you're with, it's not going to get better. But if you're able to put the effort in, and that's what, as I think as veterans, we need to realize too, we put in so much effort to be what we were, to be a soldier, to be a sailor, to be an airman, to be a United States Marine. We're willing to do that. Well, why can't you put enough effort to fill in, be the same person, and uphold the same emblem, the same significance of what we did? It's just now you're really doing it for yourself. And wherever that turns to, for me, it was an ability to turn to doing it for other veterans, because it still is healing for me on a regular basis to be able to do that. I'm still able to act as a Marine, but it does. It takes hard work. And I went through the crucible. I went through combat. One of the hardest things I had to do was combating my own issues with what I was thinking about and what I was doing on a regular basis when I was making bad decisions and saying, you know what, I need to fix those. But I had an ability to do so with a lot of support. So that was one of the major factors.
Well, that's terrific. David?
Yeah, Jason, thanks so much for sharing your insights. Let me ask you more about the, if you have time, about the warrior groups that you say have been started in Florida. What can veterans do? What can they expect if they want to turn to one of these warrior groups for help?
Well, what they can do, like I said, by all means, I ask them to give me a call at 352-816-2074 or email me jason.white@ptsdusa.org. What they can expect is being around fellow combat veterans. They can expect to, you know, sit there and communicate an ability in a way that they are able to be comfortable around the people that they may have never served with, may not even know, but there's a common bond there to be able to, you know, I need to talk about this. No one else may really understand, but you may do, because you are the same as I am, been the similar thing. And they come in there and they just communicate that. They communicate whatever they want.
I see.
And we are there just to feed people, to help pick them up and find ways to cope and heal from those processes.
Well, that's great. So our listeners that may be interested in or desiring to help the organization, you mentioned a website before. I think you said PTSDUSA.org. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, the PTSDUSA.org. And if they'd like to help in any way, they can go on that website and they can support us. They can find ways just to advocate. And they can communicate on the numbers I've given them, the phone numbers, and whatever they choose to. If they want to learn more, we're here just to tell you what it really is. And like I said, it is the community. It's the community's way. It's an option for them to say, I need a way to help. If they want to, just be there, volunteer. Doesn't matter what it looks like. They can just listen. And that's all we ask. So they can go on PTSDUSA.org. Florida chapter, there's an option for the veterans outreach and the individual chapters, and communicate with us, and we'll be happy to tell you how, you know, we'd love to.
Oh, that's great.
Volunteer.
And Jason, you mentioned it's a 501c3 charitable organization, so I presume that you all would welcome financial contributions or donations, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Very much so. Very much so. And it helps go to support getting those veterans to Camp Hope for their treatment. It goes to support their completely free cost of that treatment, whether it be 4 to 6 months. If they want to stay one full year, it's fully supported for them to get that healing.
Wow.
At no cost to the veteran. It's all because of the community that shows that kind of love.
Wow. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for calling in. Anything else you'd like to share with us? Share with our listeners?
No, I just want to say thank you for letting me reach out to you. I love what you guys are doing. That if at very least the one thing we need to do as a community is raise that awareness and education and understanding of what it looks like for this culture and this community. And by all means, Rich, thank you so much for just standing by me for those many years and, you know, being able to call in just to, you know, share my story and where my progress is that you've seen every step of the way. And not many people are willing to, you know, remember and look at that, but if it wasn't for that effort, that gives me energy. You give me energy, and I appreciate that by all means. So thank you for that support.
Well, you're a credit to the core, man. You're a credit to the core.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, Jason. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for everything, and keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. You guys have a wonderful night.
You too. Good night.
Well, that was
great.
That was a nice update.
Yeah, I'm glad Jason White called us for that. And again, our listeners may be interested in learning more about the PTSD Foundation of America and Camp Hope in Houston, as well as the Florida chapter that Jason White was telling us about. Website is PTSDUSA.org, and you can find contact information on that website. Learn more about the programs. It's a great program, and those of you interested in learning even more, if you go to our show, the Veteran News Hour, archives on BBS Radio, you'll see that back in 2017, our September 11th show in 2017, we had David Malsby, who was the director of Camp Hope, and we had an interview with him telling us about that, and then Jason was on a couple of our earlier shows, or shows since September 2017, talking about his experiences in Camp Hope, and it's a great program. Rick, I know you've talked about supporting and creating a Florida Camp Hope as well. I guess something that would be a residential program.
Yeah,
that would be a great thing to have, and it sounds like there'd probably be a lot of support for it. So many veterans in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something we need, and we're so busy with all the projects that we have going on. I have to sit back and get some time in here and start planning that as well.
Yeah, understand. Well, let's go to our news segment.
You got some news for us.
We do, and You know, last week on the show, we talked a lot about the new appeals system in the VA. We're going to get to that in a moment. But before that, I want to talk about another big issue. It's a big issue for the VA. It's been in the news a lot over the last 5 years. It's also a big issue, obviously, for veterans, their families, and many veteran groups are watching this closely. And that's the issue of the VA, the status, the state of the VA healthcare system, which overall is doing a great job serving millions of veterans. Right now, the statistics, over 9 million veterans are enrolled in the VA healthcare system. And last year, over 6 million of those who were enrolled actually received care of one kind or another. It's a very extensive system across the country. There are 143 VA hospitals. There are over 1,200 VA outpatient sites. And Rick, you and I know that throughout Florida, a lot of our the veterans that we help, they get their primary care at these outpatient sites, which are all over the state of Florida, it seems. There's also more than 300 VA vet centers, and that's separate from the benefit side of the VA, where there's 56 regional offices. But the extensive VA healthcare system, despite all the resources, has had its moments, had its problems, as we know, the media coverage over the last 5 years, starting in 2014 with the Phoenix VA Medical Center, kind of a scandal about long wait times. And the scandal was aggravated by the fact that it turned out that there was falsification of waiting times, so that it made it look, the VA made it look like veterans were not waiting, when in fact they were waiting for long periods of time, and some veterans were actually dying from lack of the care that they needed. So over the last 5 years, there have been efforts, scrutiny by Congress, and the development of programs that would allow veterans, in some instances, to get their care paid for by the VA, but get the care out in the private sector. That's a big issue, and it's part of our news tonight. I wanted to give that background. But this past week, February 23rd, Stars and Stripes newspaper reported an article by journalist Nikki Wendling that right now, or as of the end of 2018, there were 48,985 unfilled jobs across the VA, which was an increase of nearly 4,000 or 7% for what was reported halfway through 2018. The VA is reporting its vacancies and began reporting last June to comply with a law called the Mission Act, which was a major VA reform bill enacted by Congress. By comparison, as I say, at the end of 2018, there were 48,985 unfilled jobs in the VA. By comparison, the end of 2017, there were about 35,000. According to the Stars and Stripes article, the major federal union, which represents many VA employees, the American Federation of Government Employees, took the position that these statistics show some sort of a push by the VA towards privatization of the department. In other words, they're inferring that all these vacancies, these tens of thousands of vacancies, somehow suggest that the VA isn't doing enough to fill these jobs, and therefore creating a system in which the veterans need to go into the private sector. Well, the VA responded saying that the idea that they're trying to privatize the system is a myth, and they attributed the vacancy numbers to couple things. The normal turnover that you have in any organization, particularly a large organization like the VA, as well as the workforce growth. Of those vacancies, 42,790 are in the VA healthcare system, with 24,800 in the medical and dental field. Again, the American Federation of Government Employees has accused the VA of essentially starving the Department of Resources as they work to expand veteran access to private doctors. The VA didn't take that accusation sitting down. The VA Press Secretary Kurt Cashauer called those accusations by the union to be unfounded, said that about 11% of the agency's 420,000 authorized workforce is unfilled, that vacancy rate is consistent with industry standards. He also noted that the VA brought in about 9,000 new employees in the last quarter of 2018 and lost about 6,000 through turnover with a net increase of about 3,000. Again, the VA press secretary stated that the VA has more employees than ever before. Its budget is bigger than it's ever been before, and that the idea that VA is being privatized is really a myth that has been, quote, thoroughly debunked, unquote. Now, Democrats who have taken the majority in the House of Representatives and Congress are expected to address the issue of VA vacancies soon. Representative Mark Takano, a Democrat of California, the new chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, has stated that it's a top priority of the committee to address that particular issue. So we'll see what develops. But that really ties into the next issue, Rick, that I know you're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's another big issue for veterans who receive medical care in the VA system is when can they get the VA to pay for their care in the private sector? I get that question all the time. It's a major issue facing our veterans. The VA and Congress for the last 5 years, ever since the Phoenix VA hospital scandal. In that regard, last Thursday, February 21st, the VA announced the publication of a proposed regulation in the Federal Register for the new Veterans Community Care Program, including access standards. The proposed regulation would establish new rules for the Veterans Community Care Program required by Section 101 of the VA Maintaining Internal Systems and Strengthening Integrated Outside Networks Act, or Mission Act of 2018. Last month, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie announced its proposed access standards for community care and urgent care provisions that will take effect in June and guide when veterans can seek care to meet their needs under the Mission Act, be it with the VA or with the community providers. Under the Mission Act, signed by President Trump in June of 2018, there are six different eligibility criteria for community care. Services unavailable, residents in a state without a full-service VA medical facility, 40-mile legacy grandfathered from the CHOICE program, access standards, best medical interest, and needing care from a VA medical service line that VA determines is not providing care that complies with the VA standards for quality. I'd like to add that on some of these, the best medical interest, access standards, I've seen these issues, and I've represented veterans who, for instance, needed emergency treatment and couldn't get to, even though the VA hospital was within the mile radius, basically the condition was so dire that the veteran had to go to the closest place for the emergency treatment, and the VA would turn around and deny the veteran if there was any out-of-pocket expenses associated with that emergency care, and the VA would deny the veteran that reimbursement, and it happens quite a bit. So I tell veterans, you know, you got to fight them. You know, you got to present them with the medical record. You got to have a doctor on board explaining the dire need, and you'll eventually you'll get covered. So those six criteria you really need to take a look at. The VA is proposing new access standards effective when the final regulations published, expected in June of 2019, to ensure veterans have greater choice in receiving care. Eligibility criteria and final standards as follows were based on VA's analysis of all of the best practices both in government and in the private sector and tailored to the needs of our veteran patients. Access standards will be based on average drive time and appointment wait time. For primary care, mental health, and non-institutional extended care services, VA is proposing a 30-minute average drive time standard. For specialty care, VA is proposing a 60-mile average drive time standard. He is proposing appointment wait time standards of 20 days for primary care, mental health care, and non-institutional extended care services, and 28 days for specialty care from the date of the request with certain exceptions. Eligible veterans who cannot access care within those standards would be able to choose between eligible community providers and care at a VA medical facility. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie said, "Our medical services must meet our veterans' needs and reinforce the trust that forms the basis for every interaction with the VA. Our new access standards are a vital part of this effort. Most Americans can already choose the healthcare providers that they trust, and President Trump promised that veterans would be able to do the same. With the VA's new access standards, the future of the VA healthcare system will lie in the hands of veterans, exactly where it should be. The VA encourages the public to provide input on the proposed regulation by March 25, 2019, during the public comment period. For instructions on how to submit a comment, visit the Federal Register website at www.regulations.gov and search for RIN-2900-AQ46. That's www.regulations.gov and search for RIN-2900-AQ46. Back to you, Dave.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, it's a complex set of rules that you're describing there. And what crosses my mind is when you list a half a dozen different criteria that the veteran only has to meet one of those, presumably, to have the VA pay for care in the private sector. But some of those rules, and proving that those criteria are met within the necessary period of time, I can see those as all being possible pitfalls. And as kind of background, we saw that over the veterans over the last year and a half, 2 years with the Veterans Choice Program, where veterans were finding that there was a fair amount of bureaucracy in actually utilizing that. And on top of it, Congress had to continually keep an eye over the funding of it and appropriate additional funds to keep that choice program current and alive, basically. So basically, it sounds like the VA is considering an expanded and more permanent, more detailed set of criteria for this, and we'll see how it develops. Like Richard said, it's a proposed regulation now. The VA has put the ideas out there in the Federal Register. I'm sure there are veteran groups, but individual veterans as well, and families and others that are interested, can provide their input, their comment, during the public comment period, which runs through March the 25th, 2019, and go to regulations.gov for that. Now, just as further background about it, this issue, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie had provided some further perspective in a press release of January 28th. And from his perspective, the last 2 years have been a very exciting time for veterans and the VA. Secretary Wilkie has really applauded the progress, as he sees it, that's been made in the current administration and by Congress to reform many areas of the VA to try to advance transparency, accountability, and customer service. And he pointed to, among other things, that so-called Mission Act enacted in June of 2018 to introduce these access standards for community care and urgent care. And hopefully by this June, they'll have those worked out. According to Secretary Wilkie, the VA currently has a patchwork of 7 separate community care programs that he acknowledges is a bureaucratic maze that's tough to navigate for veterans, their families, and VA employees as well. So hopefully these new access standards will form the basis of a new regulation which will consolidate these 7 different community care programs into a single, hopefully simple-to-use program that puts the veterans at the center of the VA healthcare decisions. According to Secretary Wilkie, strict and confusing qualification criteria like driving distances and proximity to the VA facilities that don't offer needed services will be replaced by eligibility guidelines based on the convenience of the veteran customers. Well, not to be too cynical about this, but we'll see how that actually works out. But nevertheless, there's a lot of positive things about the current system. And anecdotally, Rick, I think you and I have both heard from a lot of veterans that when you ask them about, you know, their view of the VA healthcare system, many of them are extremely happy. And that given the choice, they'd rather be getting care in the VA system than the private sector. The problem, though, is access and timely access.
Right.
So
I know a lot of veterans in my area is in Central Florida and north of Tampa. I hear a lot of veterans praise the clinic. They still have issues with the major VA hospitals in Gainesville and St. Pete and Tampa, but they really like the clinics. And
use them, you know, quite often. I know in Central Florida, the Villages is highly respected. A lot of veterans, I know veterans from Tampa who go up to the Villages to use that clinic, just because their services are so good. So there is some positive feedback, and, you know, it's something that just has to keep, they just have to keep working at it, you know? When you build a house and you keep having problems with trying to build the house, you don't stop building the house, you just figure out a way to fix it and hopefully get the house finished. And that's what they're trying to do with the VA. You know, they gotta start all over again in some areas and try to fix it. So.
Yeah. Well, along the note of, the positive aspects of the VA healthcare system, Secretary Robert Wilkie also pointed to several studies which basically applauded the VA healthcare system. He pointed to a 2018 RAND study which found that the VA healthcare system, quote, generally delivers higher quality care than other health providers, unquote. He also pointed to a 2018 Dartmouth University study that found that Veterans Health Administration hospitals perform or outperform non-veteran hospitals in most healthcare markets. And he pointed finally to a 2019 study in the Journal of the American Medical Association that shows that VA wait times are now shorter than those in the private sector in primary care and two of three special care areas. So the VA has done a lot. As you mentioned, you know, there's room for improvement, but even VA employees themselves are noticing improvements, and hopefully that will contribute to less turnover of employees. The VA ranked 6th out of 17 of the federal government agencies in the Partnership for Public Services annual Best Places to Work tabulation, up from rock bottom 17th the year before that. So there's definitely been some progress being made, and be a big issue to follow in the next 6 months and years ahead as well. Now we've got about 12 minutes left. We got some more news. Rick, if you want to maybe briefly touch again on the appeals thing. I talked at length on last week's show, but maybe if you want to offer your thoughts about it.
Without going into the details of how the appeal process is going to work, this is something that I think we're just going to have to, see how it comes out of the oven. I've talked to a lot of decision review officers in St. Pete who handled claims under the old system, and they're absolutely against this new system. They say it's quote unquote just kicking the can down the road, and it's really not going to implement anything better for our veterans. But it is the system that it is, and we have to deal with it and deal with it the best we can. Veterans, that, you know, it doesn't mean that your claims aren't going to be granted. It just means that there's another process. And that process, according to the VA, is to help expedite and get these cases done. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I know right now the system in St. Pete, and I know the system in Montgomery, Alabama, they are fit to be tied. They have no idea what they're doing. And that's a direct quote from the person in Montgomery and a person in St. Pete.
Wow.
They're one of them told me, yesterday, they haven't trained us, believe it or not. And I said, I thought you guys all went through a training program. And he said, no, we, not with what we're doing now. And, so I said, what are you doing? He goes, we're doing it by the seat of our pants. Meanwhile, we're supposed to, you know, we're under the gun on trying to get cases done, and it's just an impossible situation. So, unfortunately, that impossible situation at the end of the day does affect our veterans. So, you know, veterans, you need a good representative to help you get through this process. Again, it doesn't mean your case isn't going to be granted and you're not going to get the compensation that you're entitled to. It just means that, you know, it's new, and you need the right team that knows what they're doing when they're filing the appeal. So that's my latest on that topic.
Rick, when you say the view from some of the decision review officers you've talked to is that it's kind of kicking the can down the road, do you think that what they're trying to say is that it's going to kick some of these cases on appeal ultimately down the road to the Board of Veterans Appeals as opposed to the higher level review or the supplemental claims really making, really resolving things enough that the veterans are going to be happy about it? You think kicking the can down the road means to the BVA?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what I mean. It's going to become the BVA's problem. And all it's going to do is burden the BVA.
Yeah.
And hopefully the BVA's got, I believe, 6 months or so ago, we heard that they had hired 90 new judges. And hopefully that was to deal with this new program. But, so that's exactly what that means. And, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I've had, far greater confidence over the years with the quality of Board of Veterans Appeals, BVA decisions than regional office decision review officers or initial adjudicators. But it comes back to what you were saying. Is the BVA, the Board of Veterans Appeals, staffed enough with judges and then all their support staff and support attorneys to handle what may be an increasing workload? That time will tell, and we'll see. We'll see how efficient the BVA can be as well. But let's, we've got about 8 minutes left. Let's go to, a quick recap of some other news. I mentioned, two of these last week, but they're important enough. I want to, remind our listeners and also perhaps folks who weren't, tuning in last week, two events of interest to veterans coming up in the near future. The 2019 National Veterans Wheelchair Games. Registration is ongoing. It's online. Go to the website wheelchairgames.org. National Veterans Wheelchair Games will be in Louisville, Kentucky this year, July 11th to 16th. That's July 11th to 16th at the Robley Rex VA Medical Center in Louisville, Kentucky. And it's the world's largest sport events for veterans who use wheelchairs. It's presented by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and the Paralyzed Veterans of America organization, the PVA. So a lot of different events. Actually, they offer about 19 different competitive events at that program, and athletes will compete against others who have similar athletic ability, competitive experience, or age. So again, check it out at wheelchairgames.org. The other big event coming up, it's coming up much sooner, is the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic, March 31st to April the 5th. So that's coming up next month. It's in Snowmass, Colorado. Its website is wintersportsclinic.org. That's the National Disabled Veterans Winter Sports Clinic website, wintersportsclinic.org. This year's event will be March 31st to April 5th. Last year, they had nearly 390 veterans participate for these winter sports events, and it's a great way to help these veterans stay active. You know, sports is an important part of health, good health, physical and mental. So it's another great program. So check it out, wintersportsclinic.org, and you can also go to YouTube and watch some videos from last year's events to get a sense of what it's really about. So two great events of interest to veterans around the country. Rick, over to you.
Thank you, David. Yeah, before we close the show tonight, once again, we'd like to provide our annual reminder to veterans and their families about the program called Coaching into Care. This is an important VA program. It helps veterans having difficulty transitioning to home life. Returning home can be a tough adjustment, and loved ones can help. Coaching into Care offers a free free coaching to help you help your veteran. Give the program a call, toll free at 1-888-823-7458. Hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, the VA's Coaching the Care number is 1 888 823-7458. In addition, I'd like to once again remind listeners that if you know a veteran who is suicidal or in a crisis of any kind, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs also has a Veterans Crisis Line to help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Many veterans have committed suicide because they did not get the help they needed. Help them get the care they need to cope with their problem. Once again, the Veterans Crisis Line can help. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Thanks, Richard. Well, before we draw to a close tonight, I want to highlight one of the projects that Richard Hurley and I are continuing to work on, and you can find more about that at the website stopwar.today. It's a program to promote knowledge about the costs of war and alternatives to war, and we highlight a number of valuable resources, including Brown University's Cost of War Project, all the research they've done in studying the full spectrum of the costs and effects of the post-9/11 wars, not only in Iraq and Afghanistan, but the ongoing, apparently never-ending global war on terror, which is now going on in most areas of the world. We're highlighting that, so you can check out costsofwar.org. And also we're highlighting the work of the United States Institute of Peace. The website is usip.org. It's a little known congressionally funded institute whose mission is to study and promote and implement peace building, alternatives to war, international conflict resolution that does not use war. That's usip.org. I think very few Americans have actually heard of the United States Institute of Peace, although it's been around since Congress created it in 1984 during the Reagan administration. One of the reasons most Americans haven't heard about it is that USIP is so relatively low-funded that it doesn't have the resources really to compete against or in the media with the Defense Department and other agencies. But you can check them out at usip.org. And then the other important resource that we're promoting through our project is an excellent book called A Mighty Case Against War by author Kathy Beckwith of Oregon. The subtitle of the book is What America Missed in U.S. History Class and What We All Can Do Now. It's a great book. If you'd like a copy of it, contact me. I'll be happy to send you a free copy. Read the book. It'll open your eyes to really what the title suggests, A Mighty Case Against War and What You Missed in U.S. History Class, and more importantly, what you can do about it now. So if you're interested in a free copy of the book, A Mighty Case Against War by Kathy Beckwith, send me an email. My email address is lawcorey1@verizon.net. That's LAWCORY, the number 1, at verizon.net. And if you haven't been able to write that down fast enough, go to our show's website, bbsradio.com/TheVeteransNewsHour, and you'll find my contact information, email and phone number, and the same for Richard Hurley, his email and phone number. Give us a call, contact us, we'll be happy to hear from you. So, about ready to wrap up, I want to thank all of you for listening to the Veterans News Hour here on BBS Radio Station 1. We'd like to again thank our sponsors, Joyce and Joe Chivaroli, as well as Corey and Hurley Law Group. We'd like to invite any of you that want to be advertisers or sponsors for our show. We certainly welcome that. It'll help us to expand publicity of our show, which in turn expands the audience that's listening. I would also like to thank our producer at BBS Radio, Mr. Doug Newsom, for the great job he does for us every week. And we hope that you'll tune in next week. Tell your friends about this show so they'll listen in too. We'll be here same time, same station for another edition of the Veterans News Hour. Meanwhile, have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Veterans News Hour with David Corey and Richard Hurley. We hope you found this week's program very informative. Be sure to invite your friends and all the veterans you know to tune in next week when we'll have another great show on veterans issues. Meanwhile, you can listen to our other recorded episodes on the Veterans News Hour webpage on VBSRadio.com. Thanks again for listening to the Veterans News Hour.